Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I'm Jim Brodesch. She is Marjorie Egan. Today we are wrapping up our ballot question explainers and debates with ballot question number three, which will decide whether or not to repeal the state's gaming law or keep casino gambling out of Massachusetts. A yes vote on question three means yes to repealing the casino law. Voting no on question three would uphold the state's gaming law, which would allow plans to license and build up to three casinos and a slots parlor in Massachusetts to move forward. Here with us in Studio 3 to take on this issue is former Attorney General of Massachusetts, Scott Harshbarger. He is currently senior counsel in the Boston office of Proskauer. He's in favor of voting yes on ballot question number three. Scott, it's great to see you. How are you?
Nice to see you, Jim and Marjorie.
Thank you very much for coming in.
And I will say just in advance, Judy sends her best to both of you.
She's a wonderful soul. Don't try using that to your benefit, though, Scott.
Okay, fine. My wife says hello as well.
Okay. All right,
we're also joined by
How about the dogs?
Yeah, the dogs. My two boys, my two precious boys.
Mike Mathis is the president of MGM Resorts Springfield. Obviously, that's the casino that would go up there. They were selected. He's in favor of voting no on ballot question number three. Scott and Mike, it's good to see you both. Thanks for being here.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Okay, let's start with our Just the Facts, Ma'am question. Jim just explained what a yes vote on question three would mean. And what a voting no would mean. Is that correct as far as you understand it? We have the facts on the table?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, how about you, Mike?
We need a no to keep everything in place.
But as Jim just explained it,
it's one of the simpler, at least in terms of yes-no ballot
questions.
That's
correct. That's a great summary.
It's yes to, as the Globe says, pull the plug on the casino law, but that's right, yes.
Yeah, it's very confusing if you ask me.
That's right.
Even though it's a yes to get rid of the casinos and a no to keep the casinos, it's very, very confusing. Okay, why should we get rid of the casinos, Scott Harshbarger?
I think casinos are a problem that we do not need in Massachusetts. We can do much, much better. We have demonstrated sustainable economic development with major leading-edge industries, healthcare, education, biotech, high-tech. Casinos are not a sustainable economic development. They bring short-term jobs, short-term profit. The owners make a lot of money. The state makes money. But in reality, it harms more people, as the Globe says, makes it very clear. It invites more harms, more risks, than the benefits. And the benefit, everything from affecting the local businesses, bringing with it addiction, crime, corruption, those issues, as well as impacting the local aid and through the lottery. These are harms and costs and consequences that are predictable. This is not, we don't dream about this. This has happened in every state. It's built into the legislation. It's also an industry that is saturated in the Northeast. And I think it is a big mistake and invites risks we don't need, especially for a state that has been so successful in building strong economic development opportunities. And this is something that far more risk than benefits.
Okay, Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I strongly disagree with that, obviously. And I think we want to be really detailed about our discussion on this issue. The question is, why does Springfield need a casino? Why does Everett need a casino? Why does Plainville need a casino? And I think when you talk about it at a very high level, you can start getting into these stereotypes about crime and some of the bad examples that the industry has. But really, the best examples are what we're bringing in our proposals. In Springfield, the unemployment rate is twice that of the state average. So there's 7,000 unemployed folks out there that we hope to give jobs to. We'll make a little bit of a dent. We're going to do 1,000 jobs for Springfield residents. We're going to invest $800 million into a community that's been on a steady decline for 25 years. So I think you got to get very detailed on these discussions and not talk about it at the very high level that, you know, the folks that are on the yes side do.
Well, I mean, look, I understand that position. But the people of Springfield, you know, you can't have one law that's for one city and not for the rest of the state. The fact of the matter is it affects us all. And the reality is in Springfield, Mike's exactly right. Springfield has been left out. But that's a failure of political leadership and civic leadership. This is not a question that's going to be solved by the casinos because they bring with it so many other impacts on all of us as citizens are going to be affected by this. And that's why I think this is a very dangerous proposition to say we're going to go city by city, when the reality is that that's going to impact everybody.
But one of the things about Springfield, and the gubernatorial candidates have both mentioned this, that even if the law were repealed and there were no casinos, Charlie Baker said it early on that he'd be interested in getting one casino in Springfield because of the unemployment. So Scott Harshbarger, you know, I know obviously what you think about casinos, but to say we're going to fix casinos, I mean, we're going to fix Springfield's with some kind of economic development, I could see the unemployed citizen in Springfield saying, when? I need a job now.
That's exactly what they say. And first of all, these jobs are not coming for 2 or 3 years anyway. But more importantly, this is exactly what the problem is. Here are two governor's candidates who otherwise are talking about innovation, opportunity, investment in education, higher education, all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, they will now say, even if the people vote to repeal this law, even if they vote, if the people say, we don't need to do this, repeal the law, they are willing still to consider going forward. Now, that's the trouble with this. This makes even reasonable people do outrageous things. The reality is this is a citizen vote. We may win, we may lose. But to say at the end of the day that the end will go back to it. Furthermore, they can always go back and look at this again. My answer is let's vote it down. And if we want to open up one casino in Springfield, let's reopen that debate. This is not about one anymore. This is about three already, four to come. And once we have it, it's like Lay's potato chips. You can't limit this. Because the Native American tribes
can
will be able to...
I got to hold there. Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Mike Mathis, about something that Scott Harshbarger mentioned a minute ago? You have the numbers, I'm sure. 4, 5, whatever number of casinos will be shuttered in Atlantic City by the end of the year. Yeah. We know the gambling revenues, gaming, I guess you're supposed to call it, gambling revenues in Connecticut are down. A guy who knows a little bit about your business, Shelly Adelson, a Dorchester kid, now a billionaire from the Sands, decided not to get involved in the whole casino deal in Massachusetts, saying 3-in-1 slots parlor is too much. That was before Atlantic City and declining revenues in Connecticut. Aren't those two experiences a suggestion that maybe one would have been okay, and I know you'd want it in Springfield, but this law is just too much, is just oversaturation and then some.
Yeah, I think you got to look to the market on a question like that. So to me,
but that is the market,
no,
isn't
but,
it?
No, but the market in Massachusetts, oh. the proof is in the interest that you've seen in this jurisdiction. Atlantic City is 12 casinos that in the peak, that might have made sense. Now that 3 or 4 of them closed down, that market will normalize. But something important about Atlantic City is it still generates 31,000 jobs in that industry, notwithstanding the decline, and it produces $200 million in annual revenue to the state. So while it's off its peak, you know, Microsoft, when it merged with Nokia, laid off 18,000 people. But everybody would be happy to have a Microsoft office in their headquarters. So you can't look at New Jersey. I think you have to look at Massachusetts. We've decided in Western Mass that it's a good market for us. Wynn Resorts, one of the top companies in the industry, has decided that Boston, Everett is a good market. And Plainville is building their track. So right now you've got 2 or 3 operators that are interested in it. And actually there's a fourth license down the southeast that frankly they're having a difficult time getting interest in because the market's reacting. 4 may be too much down there with the Native American tribe, but 3 that were interested in works.
Mike, when I met you a month or so, you live in Massachusetts. You're a Massachusetts guy right now?
Every other week. I'm hoping to be one as of November 5th.
Well, then fine. One of the things, we asked this in the gubernatorial debate last week. I'm pretty sure we did get to this question. We spend more in the lottery by far per person in the state, by far, than any other jurisdiction in the United States. And $1 billion goes to cities and towns, which makes everybody smile. But somebody has to lose $1 billion to send $1 billion.
That's right.
Okay, and then on top of that, we open casinos. Not as the president of MGM Springfield, but as somebody who cares about their neighbors, are you worried at all about the level of gambling and losing that's going to finance state and local services in Massachusetts? Is that not an issue for you?
Yeah, great question. I think the question is it going to cannibalize or is it a Massachusetts-only market or are we going to do what the gaming statute wanted, which is to repatriate dollars? So, for example, you got to look at our business plan. And that's the problem, I think, with this discussion is no one's talked about the specific proposals that we've made. We've got thousands of pages that we submitted to the Gaming Commission on which they reviewed and based their decision to give us a license. And the key part of our business plan is we're going to bring 1/3 of our customers up from Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So for so long, for the last 25 years, we've grown the New England gaming market on the back of Bay State residents. And for the first time, we'll be able to bring dollars from out of the state up.
Wait a minute.
So that's the answer.
I just want to reintroduce you guys. Everybody knows who we're talking to here. Michael Mathis is the president of MGM Resorts in Springfield. And the other voice is of Scott Harshbarger. He was the former attorney general in Massachusetts, and he wants to repeal the casino law. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, let me just say, look. This is all about promises. The whole history of the gambling industry is of failed promises, just like the ads that we're running right now. You wouldn't know they're about casinos. They're about cleaning up an Everett mess, a Superfund site. They're about economic development. The reality is this is a failed business model. It's a failed public policy, Jim.
Yeah, but the people of Springfield heard that, Scott Harshbarger, in 58-42.
That's right.
But they said, we hear you. We want it because we need something here.
That's right, Jim, but the people of East Boston, or the people of Palmer and Munson with the same unemployment problems, every community around Springfield voted it down. So the reality is that, that may be true, but the fact of the matter is that's what they said in Atlantic City. If you go back and look at what Atlantic City was supposed to do, this was supposed to revitalize Atlantic City. Detroit was supposed to be revitalized by casinos. The whole area in Connecticut has been, by and large, all the small communities are gone in that part of the state. The point is not that it's a terrible thing. It's not evil. The answer is these were harms we knew about. And the legislature did not do a cost-benefit study in advance. We have a chance now to make that kind of analysis and see whether these promises that are being made, which are not guaranteed, are actually going to be fulfilled. And I think we do know what is going to happen. We know we're going to lose lottery revenue. We know we're going to have impact on small businesses. We know we're going to have dramatically increased addiction and various types of problems because they're predictable. They're given.
Michael Mathis from MGM Resorts up in Springfield.
Yeah, I think if you listen to the yes folks and their strategy here, you think you were trying to repeal the New Jersey Gaming Act or the Michigan Gaming Act because all they want to do is talk about the bad examples. This has been a really deliberate process. It is the best piece of gaming legislation in the country, not because it makes it easiest on operators, because it makes it very difficult. They spent two or three legislative sessions, looked at the best of the best, and here are the things that they came around with. And I think we got to talk about the Gaming Act. Limited licenses. That's some of the problems that Atlantic City had, is overgrowth and oversaturation.
What does limited license mean?
Limited licenses means that there are three licenses available.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know what you meant. I'm
geographically
sorry.
Diverse.
Limited number, you mean.
Limited
yes.
number of okay. licenses. A host community agreement. One of the problems you see in Atlantic City is that not enough of the benefits went to Atlantic City residents. So they got the impact of traffic. They got some of the impacts related to crime that come with heavy visitation, but not enough of the revenue stayed locally. We cut a deal, again, in Springfield. The piece of real estate that we're building on is a tornado-ravaged piece of real estate. It generates $634,000 a year for Mayor Sarno. Our agreement provides $25 million a year, and it's going to go towards early education funding. It's going to go to parks. It's going to go to infrastructure. So you can't avoid the specific facts that relate to this issue. It's too important. You can rely on stereotypes all you want, Scott,
Boston Globe editorial, if I can. I was actually shocked by it. You know, people are saying they're shocked that the Globe endorsed Charlie Baker. They haven't endorsed the Republican. Actually, they endorsed you, didn't they, when you ran against Paul Cellucci? Did they not?
That was a Democrat.
Okay, I know that.
That was my trouble. I didn't have enough Democrats.
But Mike, you probably know the Globe used to be a pretty passionate, surprisingly so to me, defender of casinos. Now they write things like, first of all, the recession is gone, so the need is less, they would argue.
It's gone in Boston.
As expected, casino transactions, they write, have also proven to be a kind of flypaper for lowlifes. And as the recent indictments of ever in landowner show. I think they're talking about some elected officials. And frankly, I think you'd have to acknowledge there have been a succession of troubling stories about some of the people involved in some of these efforts, which does leave a bad taste in some people's mouths. Is that not a fair statement?
It is fair. I want to talk about that editorial. I was disappointed with it. A year and a half ago, the Globe endorsed the Springfield Project. And one of the things they said was that it was an innovative project that helped a gateway city that hasn't seen economic development for 25 years. So the editorial that came out yesterday, you know, I was disappointed because it was very Boston-centric. Yeah, things are good in Boston, clearly. Cranes are up. Unemployment is down. But it's twice the rate in a town like Springfield. And, you know, one of the things that came out this morning, Mary Hurley, the one and only female mayor of Springfield, came out and talked about, you know, this question of casinos came out in the 90s when she was the mayor, and the city passed on it twice. They said, you know what, something better is down the road. Something better is coming.
Right.
That's 25 years ago, and nothing better has come.
Yeah, but Mike.
Excuse me. So she said, give it a chance. These are Springfield residents that care about the city. Give it a chance. Give us a chance.
Look, the reality is nobody is questioning.
This is Scott Harshbarger. Once you vote yes for appeal, by the way.
Very difficult economic circumstances, but so did Palmer and Munson. So did East Boston. So did many of these communities. The problem here is whether casinos should Massachusetts, which has the higher education, the leader in biotech, high tech, which has just revitalized various parts. Somerville alone, which used to be, Mike, considered a slumberville. In 10 years, Joe Curtatone, through solid economic problems, turned that city around. And right across the yard, 500 yards away, effort has failed completely. Same economic circumstances, same bones, as they say. Springfield, as many people have said, has very good bones, solid academics. The failure could well be in the political and cultural leadership of this as we go through. And the point I think I'd simply like to make about the Globe made was you mentioned the gambling law we have here. And the fact of the matter is every time the Globe makes this point, every time that it's been a close call here, we've seen them go in favor of the industry. That's just a taste of what will come. It's the history of other states. And I don't think it's a terrible thing. It's just let's not kid ourselves. We begin this process. We can't reverse it. Yes on three allows us to stop, take a second look, and let people go back to ground zero and see if whether one casino, which I don't think is a good idea, but maybe one casino is the answer. That's what Charlie Baker said a long time ago.
Would you support a one casino? No.
You wouldn't. I would not, because I do believe you can't just have just one, and you're not just going to have four. The reality is in every other state, the only industry I know that brings with it predictable costs and consequences, and when it fails, they double down and add, not say, wait a minute,
Scott Harsbury, let me ask you one last question before we'll give you each 15 seconds to make your final pitch here. I've quoted him repeatedly in response to arguments like yours. Years ago, when casinos were being discussed in the legislature, not this law, but predecessors, Marjorie and I are on the radio on another station. Remember who called, Marjorie?
Barney Frank.
Barney Frank calls in. I was railing against casinos. I don't know what my argument was that day. Right. He says, because the jobs aren't that good. And you know what his position was to me? Well, in classic Barney Frank fashion, I'll make you a deal, Jim. He said, we didn't invite him, he just called. He says, let's create these crappy jobs, as you call them. Let's employ 10,000 people. And as soon as you come up for a better economic development plan for Southeast Mass that he represented, then we'll shut down the casino and transfer all the jobs because my constituents can't wait. Couldn't the same be said for Springfield?
I think the difficulty with that, the argument for that is that you can't just shut it down. There's no history whatsoever. If this happens not to succeed and we go on.
But that wasn't his point. His point was these people can't wait anymore. No, people in these communities need jobs.
Then they ought to be asking their governor's candidate, the people who have been governor for the last 20 years in this Commonwealth. I would have loved to have had the chance to pay my promises to Springfield, which was we would make sure that it was not ignored. We would not treat it as an outlier in this state. That's what the problem is. It's a political issue, and it's not – casinos are not the answer to that political issue.
Mike, Scott's got a little more extra time, so you have 30 seconds to make your case, and Scott has 10.
We're urging a no on three, and I think the reason is because the reasons you articulated. Come November 5th, regardless of the way the vote goes, thousands of people are going to get in their cars and they're going to drive to Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods. And with that, they're going to buy gasoline, they're going to go to restaurants, they're going to buy show tickets, and they're going to continue to boost that economy up. All we're asking is to leave some of those benefits in a town like Springfield that has no economic plan. I mean, I was there last week with the historic decision that the governor made to award CNR Chang Chun Railway Company to redevelop the Westinghouse site. Historic development project is going to bring 200 jobs. 200 jobs to a highly skilled – for highly skilled positions. We're offering entry-level positions to the thousands of unemployed people in the region, and they need entry-level. We also are offering high-level jobs as well. But it's an important project for a town like Springfield that has no other option.
What's the Vote No website, Mike Mathis?
ProtectsMassJobs.com.
How about – Scott Harsbury, you have 15 seconds.
I ask people to vote yes on question three. We can do better in Massachusetts than have casinos as our economic development. And frankly, it's a mistake we need not make. We can take a second look. The only way we'll do that is people vote yes on question three on November 4th.
What's the website, Scott Harshberger?
RepealTheCasinoDeal.org.
Great to see you both. Mike Mathis, Scott Harshberger, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for coming. And someone smells beautiful in here. I don't know who
it is.
I
think it's me.
Okay. We have been debating the ballot question number three with former Attorney General Scott Harshberger. He's currently senior counsel in the Boston office of Proskauer. He's in favor of voting yes. Michael Mathis, president of MGM Resorts Springfield, is in favor of voting no on ballot question number three. Scott and Michael, thank you very much for coming in and taking the time.
Thank you.
Up next, we're going to ask you. We're opening up the lines and asking you where you come down on ballot question number three. You want to see casinos come to Massachusetts or not. Your take on this next on 89.7 WGBH.
I'm Jim Browdy. She's Marge Regan. You're listening to Boston Public Radio. A minute ago, we had Attorney General Scott Harshbarger urging you to vote yes on question three to repeal the casino law. And we had Mike Mathis, he's president of MGM Resorts in Springfield, urging you to vote no. We are short on time, our apologies, but we have a few minutes for phone calls from you. Where are you on this question? Do you have questions about the question? Give us a buzz, 877-301-8970. We want to know how you intend to vote and why on question three, which would repeal the whole casino law, which means no up to three casinos, no slots parlor out there in Plainville.
You know, Barney Frank made another argument about when he was attacking you on your stand at casinos, Jim, saying that, you know, what gives you the right to tell people, low and moderate income people, how to spend their money? You know, it's usually conservatives that are making
that's
the argument,
true.
Right?
That's right.
They're trying to
what's his libertarian
people,
side?
Yeah, they're trying to tell people on if you're getting a EBT cards, you're getting welfare assistance, you shouldn't be able to buy liquor, you shouldn't be able to get your nails done. And you cringe at those arguments. Yet on the other side, you want to tell people they can't go to the casinos if they want to go to casinos and have a wild time, Jim.
Well, I am fair and balanced, so as you just saw here, and that was then and this is now. 877-301-8970.
And we should say, on the other side, that despite, well, maybe because of the people that want the casinos to stay, spend a lot more money, the citizenry of Massachusetts is pretty heavily on the side of letting the casino law stand, 53-39 as of the moment. So we'll see if it changes on Election Day, but that's where people stand right now. 877-301-8970. Where are you in the casinos? Are you for the casinos staying or are you not? And this could not be more confusing because it's the exact opposite of how it should
right.
be.
Right, yes. Is for repeal. Well, by the way, let me just say one thing about why I think the margin is what it is. It's not just the disparity in spending of the two sides. Obviously, the keep the casinos have a lot of casino money, so obviously, and perfectly legal, it's perfectly fine. You know what the other reason is?
Not in my backyard.
Both gubernatorial candidates oppose repeal. While they both say they'd probably file a bill to have a Springfield casino, when the two people who are sucking up all the oxygen in the political room and getting all the coverage agree on something, it's pretty hard for the other side to make its case.
Oh,
if there had been a split, what do you mean?
I think it's different than that.
I think
people would like to have a casino. They just don't want it anywhere near them. So if
well, they do in Springfield and Everett.
Well, Springfield and Everett, exactly. But I'm talking about the 53-39% around the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that people may say, hey, I think it's great. We don't want to have the business go to Connecticut. We don't want them to get all the benefits. So fine, let's have a casino. Just don't have it near me.
Okay, we are really short, so we're going to take short calls, if you don't mind. Let's go to East Boston, which obviously voted once. Herb, you're next on Boston Public Radio. Hi, Herb.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
I am voting against casinos in my community, mainly due to they do destroy small business. And, you know, honestly, I'm not against casinos as a whole. But, yeah, I as you were saying earlier, I don't want them in my backyard.
Yeah. They bring
a lot of social ills to neighborhoods. And East Boston is very much a community of people. You know, this isn't a conglomerate, so it has no place being that close to, you know, families and people.
Yeah, and by the way, and the point that Harshbarger was making is, well, you got to vote on one that was in your jurisdiction. There's one right down the road that was awarded a casino where you didn't get a shot to vote, which troubles some people. Herb, thank you so much for the call.
You know, I would think the Coakley Baker stand of saying, well, they could relook at Springfield.
Would help the repeal people.
Exactly.
They totally disagree with that. I said that the other night to one of the leaders because it basically says you can vote for repeal and still get a casino.
Yes, exactly.
But
so why does it not help them? What's
the
theory?
Maybe people don't even know. Dan, you're in Boston. You're next on Boston Public Radio. Hey there, Dan.
Hey, my big problem with this, and no one's brought this up, is the fact that we all voted many, you know, a couple years ago to take these in. So, I mean, what's next? Are we going to repeal gay marriage, repeal medical marijuana because a few people don't want it?
You said, well, we
you mean the voting process.
You mean the legislature voted for it?
Well,
the state
yeah,
didn't.
I mean, but it was already brought into, you know, we voted for it in you know, what was it, a couple years ago, and, you know, it won pretty heavily.
No, individual communities have voted yes and no.
We didn't vote statewide.
But we didn't vote statewide. The legislature voted, obviously, and theoretically they represent a statewide voice. But in terms of actual public speaking directly.
Because remember, Dan, they had the big fight down in Foxborough, and that was where Wynn went initially, and he was sitting down with Bob Kraft, and they were talking about having the casino there. The people of Foxborough said, forget about it. And then I forget where else it moved. It lost in a couple of places.
Yeah, a bunch of places, actually. Dan, thank you for the call. Let's try to squeeze in one or two more. 877-301-8970.
Kevin from Salem. What do you think, Kevin?
Hello, Kevin.
Howdy. I basically am voting against the casinos, and I just think it's a short-term solution when you look at the jobs, and I think we just need to really sort of look at what's good for the state. As you just pointed out, not just individual communities, it's the whole state that we need to look at.
Well, that's Harshbarger's basic argument. I think that's one of their most powerful arguments. And by the way, the Globe, when you say short-term, the Globe addressed that by essentially switching their positions. They were very pro-casino. They're now against it. And I think the core part of their editorial over the weekend was that when it originally happened, there was this recession. There was a great need for this.
Yes.
It doesn't exist anymore. That's what they argued. Kevin, thank you for the call.
Our number is 877-301-8970. We've said this about a million times.
What's that?
We'll say it one more time. That I thought the best idea about casinos was Mitt Romney's.
Yep, it was
when he wanted
brilliant.
To get the payment from Connecticut to say, okay, you pay us X amount of dollars. What was the number?
$250 million.
$250 million. You pay us.
You remember who expropriated that idea in our debate the other night, our gubernatorial debate? Charlie Baker said the best idea is getting $400 million from Connecticut.
Yeah.
And by the way, the notion behind Romney's idea was...
And then we wouldn't build a casino here.
Right, exactly. Yeah. For $250 million. And obviously, it'd be in the interest of Connecticut to do that. But it never
happened. Nothing happened there, did it?
No.
Joseph from Bellingham. What do you think, Joseph?
Hey, Joseph.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. What I think is, basically, I've been involved with casinos. And I'm also involved... for the last 27 years, World Trade Center. And, you know, I see from my own experiences, I invited 250 government officials from China into Worcester and rolled out the carpet for them in 9 delegations. And the 9th delegation, I said to him, I said, could you, he asked me, Joseph, we can never pay you back for what you've done. Because I asked them, what did they want to learn?
Where we go, Joseph, what's the, what's the relevance of the casino discussion here?
Okay, the relevance is that we're not putting enough emphasis on short-term false promises, what it will do to people that are, that are dreamers, that think they're going to win with their welfare and money, and it's the wrong way to go.
Joseph, thanks for the call. Well, that's the question I asked Mike Mathis, and to his credit, even though he wants casinos the less, he acknowledged there's an issue. I mean, we gamble away more money on the lottery than any state per capita by far. And on top of that, we're going to do casinos, and that's really, that to me should trouble far more people than it does, at least be an issue in people's minds when they decide whether to vote yes or no, how much we want to rely on gambling revenue.
Barry from Worcester, thank you for calling.
Hi, Barry.
Yes, hi, I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
I'm from Palmer. I have a small business out there. All the business owners I know were for the casino in Palmer. It's the outside groups. I don't know where they get their information, but I don't see how it hurts small businesses.
Well, the answer, I can tell you what the answer is, at least the argument is, I shouldn't say the answer. The argument is that there's so many small businesses inside the casino, so many restaurants, so many shops, so many whatever, that it makes it difficult for shops and restaurants that are not in the casino to compete. Marjorie and I, many years ago, Barry, we don't even know which one it was. We went to a casino in Connecticut because we've been talking.
It looks like a big piece of aluminum foil that sticks up out of the woods.
I don't know what one. It was Foxwoods or the other one, Mohegan Sun. And we went because we've been talking so much about casinos.
Investigative reporting we were doing.
Well, we actually felt, to be responsible, we should go check out the place. I don't think either of us have ever been to a casino. I have to say, I didn't see a business, a restaurant, anything within miles of this place. So, you know, maybe that's anecdotal, but at least that's the argument as it goes, Barry.
Well, the way I was thinking of it is the people that work at a casino aren't supposed to frequent them as far as I have a bar. Mm-hmm. And I thought the people in the casino are prohibited for drinking there. So I figured, well, we'll wake out there. And as far as restaurants, I don't think people in Palmer would have gone to the casino to order a pizza.
Barry, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Good luck with the bar.
Yeah, we are out of time, and sorry we didn't get to all the phone calls or all the emails, but thank you anyway for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. Please tune in tomorrow for Open Mic with Nancy Kane and Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans. We'll be taking our questions and your questions as well. You can call in or email them. Our show is a production of WGBH. Boston Public Radio. Our production team is Chelsea Mers, Will Roselip, Amanda McGowan, Catherine Whalen, and our engineer, John Parker. I'm Marjorie Egan.
And I am still Jim Browdy.
You are still Jim Browdy.
I am. It's amazing.
Thank you for listening, and please tune in again.
Thanks so much.
Tomorrow.